There now?
The Antique Show.
Fred, the Antique Show?
Yeah.
Since when did you become so interested in antiques?
Isn't this antique darling? It's handcrafted and almost 100 years old.
Hey, where'd you get the antique jukebox?
You wouldn't happen to have anything in the toy line, would you?
Antique toys?
No, modern. When my nephew gets through with them, they'll be antique.
This is Evan's Antique Roadshow.
Hey, that's pretty good, Frank. Good job putting that. It sounds to me like you recruited Sarah Mills for the last part of that. I like it. Welcome, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. So, yeah, I'm going to be, I'll fully disclose, kind of geek out for the next hour because, as you know, if you've listened to this program enough, I love to talk about antiques. I think it's a fascinating thing. And there's so many different areas that you can go when you're talking antiques. The key today is we have a guest that is going to join us for the next hour. A guest you've actually met on this program before. Tom Chalowski is a Saskatoon historian. He's an author. He's administrator of the Historic Saskatchewan Facebook group. He's a show appraiser for the Saskatoon Antique and Collector Show. Former conservation manager, antique steam program chief engineer for the Western Development Museum. And he's in studio with me today. Tom Chalowski, thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you very much.
Great to you are. I mean, you and I just chatting here off air. You like this antique stuff probably, I'm going to say more than me. I love it, but you are all in. We had no problem filling the last 10 minutes chatting off air here. Did you get this love at an early age?
I've been around it my entire life. So, you know, 40 plus years of going to antique stores. I grew up on a farm outside of Ottawa, and so we'd go to antique stores in Toronto, the small towns like Kingston, Montreal. There was plenty of museums that were around. I grew up with it.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm the same way. Grew up on a farm here in Saskatchewan, and I remember going to auction sales with my grandfather. And although, you know, I don't think at those early age auction sales, I was necessarily thinking about antiques, but I remember grandpa buying a cream can and it sat on the front step of the farmhouse unused for anything other than the cats used to sit on top of it, but he bought it for a few bucks at an auction sale. Were you ever an auction sale? Did you go to auction sales much?
Well, there weren't auction sales like that where I grew up. I didn't fully appreciate and get immersed in the auction scene, farm auction scene, until I moved out west.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was fantastic. There's nothing like a Saskatchewan farm auction.
Yeah. And I mean, it can be dubbed as a farm auction, but there are going to be, whether it's tools, whether it's equipment, sometimes furniture. I mean, I've been to farm auctions where they were selling everything out of the shop, including what used to be an old kitchen table, an oak table that just happened to be in the shop, and that's where they would sit and have their coffee. But I mean, you can find a variety of things at some of those sales.
Well, what's really cool is we're now, boy, four or five generations into these auctions.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're seeing items come up for sale that have been, like you said, relegated off to the corner that were antiques 70 years
mm-hmm.
ago.
Yeah. Do you follow, I mean, Frank had some music there. I mean, there's so many shows, whether it's Antiques Roadshow. I love like American Pickers. I like those types of shows. Do you follow those types of more modern, whether it's TV shows or series on the topic?
Yeah. It's interesting to see what's happening, like in the UK or what's hot in the United States or, geographically different areas, things that you'll never see up here.
Right.
I don't know if you remember the Canadian Picker show or
of
not,
course, yeah,
but
yeah.
I helped out with, the producers whenever they'd come into, railway artifacts, I'd get contacted. They contacted me about that jumbo bell that came out of Ontario.
Yeah. Yes, I remember that.
To try and authenticate that. And unfortunately, I said it's not the bell from jumbo.
Which is a tough message to give, I'm sure.
Exactly.
But an important one.
Yep.
So you off air, we were talking about your history. Just maybe touch on, you do have some special expertise when it comes to railroad artifacts, antiques, memorabilia, because you spent a lot of your life doing that work.
Yeah, I have over 20,000 hours operation as a steam locomotive engineer and fireman. I've been involved with just about every operating steam locomotive in Canada, in between Montreal and Vancouver. Mm-hmm. My personal passion is collecting and documenting Canadian Pacific Railway station clocks. But I have a an archive of old documentation regarding to steam locomotives. I have a large collection of steam locomotive memorabilia, mm-hmm. you know, 450-pound bell, locomotive whistles, headlights, builder's plates, stuff like that.
Yeah. Tom Chalowski is my guest. Now, I mentioned earlier when I was doing the introduction that you've met Tom before because we had you on the show talking about you also are, you not only love, appreciate, collect antique typewriters, but you actually do work repairs on them, correct?
Correct. I'm one of the few people in the country that's capable of fully rebuilding a typewriter, disassembling it to the base components and restoring it to factory new condition.
I remember when we had the chat, when we had you on the show there, we were talking about you had a bit of a back and forth with Tom Hanks. He actually sent you a typewriter, did he not?
Yes, he
yeah,
did.
Yeah, which is such a cool story. So Tom is with us until noon today, and I will say the text line, the phone line is open for you. So if you have a question, no, the one thing, the one caveat I will put on it, I'll say it and you can explain and help me explain why, but we won't be doing appraisals on the show today, right?
Like you, that's correct.
You need to see the item. You need to be able to look at it in person in order to do an appraisal.
Yeah, I mean, when you're determining the value of something, the devil is in the details,
right.
And it's impossible to ascertain that value just based on a description.
And the reason that that's important is because you are an appraiser. You do that for the Saskatoon Antique and Collector Show. So people, if they go to that show, they're used to seeing you sitting there at a table doing that kind of work. But for the purposes of radio, it just doesn't work.
Yeah, correct. I mean, I need the resources of like a digital microscope, my loop, access to the internet. I'm looking for specific details
sure.
that aren't readily apparent to somebody
right.
that doesn't know. And the difference between, you know, $100 item and a $10,000 item could be a hallmark in a hidden place that the average person wouldn't know to look for.
Right.
Right.
You would be. So we won't be doing appraisals, but we're happy to take your questions. It could be anything from what do you think this is and get a picture sent to us. We've had that happen more than once. In fact, I've got a story I'm going to talk about here in a second. Or maybe you just have a question generally on antiques. And you know, even that, Tom, when we talk about antiques, I said this to you off air. I was in England about 4 or 5 years ago, went into a couple of antique stores there. Wow. Antiques in England are, we're talking 16, 1700s. Antiques in Canada, sometimes we think, oh, it's from the 40s. It's an antique.
Yeah. The big thing is like the true definition of an antique is an artifact that's over 100 years old.
Right.
Right. And so in Europe, that certainly applies. Whereas here, you know, it's hard to believe that 1925 is now 100 years ago.
I know, yeah.
That still throws me for a loop.
Right.
Yeah, there's a big difference between antiques and collectibles.
Or vintage items.
Or vintage
yeah,
items,
yeah. For sure. But we'll talk about all of it. Any and all of it today. And we're happy to take questions if you've got them. So 1-877-332-8255. That's the text line. If you want to give us a call, you're happy. We're happy to take your calls as well. And again, Tom Chalowski is going to be here right until noon today. Do you follow, like, what are the things you would consider are hot right now, are trending when it comes to, especially the market, what people are buying right now in terms of antiques or vintage items?
Things are cyclical.
Yeah.
There's trends that come and go. And right now, the hottest thing that I'm observing is uranium glass.
Vintage. So that's that green colored, especially when it's looked at under a black light. Is that right?
Yeah, uranium was used prior to World War II, before it became a commodity. It was used as an additive to glass. And so especially lower-end glass or mass-produced glass that was pumped out of a mold.
Mm-hmm.
And it's recognized by its green color, its white color, its yellow color. And now, when you put a fluorescent light on it, mm-hmm. The uranium isotopes react and it glows. And so the current demographic that's buying this has rediscovered it. And when you go to an antique show and there's dealers now that have booths set up specifically selling uranium glass, they'll have it displayed with a black light underneath.
Sure.
And it just glows and people go bananas over.
It's like a moth to a flame almost.
Right? Yeah, it's pretty incredible to go to an antique show, and when the doors open up and the people swarm in, they just gravitate towards the uranium glass.
So the texts are pouring in already. I'm not surprised to see that. 1-877-332-8255. If you have a question for my guest, Tom Chalowski, more than happy to take it. Tom does some work at the Saskatoon Antique and Collector Show as a show appraiser. He's the former conservation manager from the Western Development Museum. He's also a historian, an author. You do some work on a lot of these artifacts and preserving them as well, correct?
Correct. I have training as a professional artifact conservator. People will bring me stuff. I don't advertise it, but I will occasionally get work to restore old paper documents, restore metal artifacts, or I'll provide guidance to people on how to preserve their collections of stuff.
Right. Okay, we're going to take our first break. I want to reset here, give a chance for some of these questions to filter through, and we will ask your questions. I've got, of course, a few more of my own with our guest today. We're talking antiques, collectibles, vintage items with Tom Chalowski here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Look, just don't take this antique business too lightly, because if you've got some real genuine antiques here, they could be worth a fortune.
Why do you look at me like that? I'm not an antique.
Thank you, Fritz. I know of your fondness for antiques.
Why don't you just toss this moth-eaten antique in the washing machine?
You know that guy that sold you the antique? That's just a piece of junk. Really, he's a professional swindler.
Evan's Antique Roadshow.
Again, I'm still getting a kick out of those intros that Frank put together. Okay, welcome back. Tom Chalowski is my guest, a Saskatoon historian. He's an author. He has done all kinds of work when it comes to conservation, for example. In fact, he was a former conservation manager at the Western Development Museum. He is a show appraiser for the Saskatoon Antique and Collector Show, and he is our guest until 12 o'clock today. So when we think about antiques and more, maybe moreover, hot vintage items, it's probably often tied to kind of what people remember from their youth, remember at their grandma and grandpa's house, would you say?
Yeah. So a phrase that I came up with to describe the market is generational nostalgia. Mm. The demographic that has the buying power, the discretionary income to spend to buy back their youth will drive the market. 40 years ago, a 1950s Howdy Doody marionette in good condition would have sold for around $500-$600. Today, unfortunately, it's not worth so much because that demographic is downsizing or passing away. Mm-hmm. And the current demographic that has the discretionary income to spend on antiques has no memory of Howdy
Doody. They don't remember Howdy
Doody. They don't remember.
Yeah.
But what's hot is like early Nintendo games.
Smurfs.
Well, whatever. Believe it or not, Blockbuster memorabilia is soaring up in value. So these things that were once relegated to the Salvation Army or the garbage,
right.
Now that group, that age group that has the discretionary income to buy back their youth are seeking that stuff out and driving the prices up. So generational nostalgia.
It's fascinating stuff. Okay, I'm going to go to the phone lines. I got a number of people on the call here. I'm going to start with Lloyd in Prince Albert. Lloyd, we've got Tom Chalowski here. Go ahead with your question.
Yes, good morning. I was just curious. About 40 years ago, I collected a bunch of Second World War German Air Force pilot autographs. I was just curious if they're worth anything at all.
Yes, World War II German memorabilia is certainly valuable. However, the market is just strife with fakes and reproductions. It depends on who you have for the signatures. But what I would recommend is there is a military museum in Saskatoon. In the basement of the Legion, I would reach out to them, contact them, send them some photographs, and they can point you in the right direction.
Okay, good stuff. We're going to keep going on the phone lines because I want to take as many calls as I can from listeners and texts as well. Jane in Saskatoon, you're next up. Your question for Tom.
Hi. My father came to Canada in 1925 and worked on the railroad for $6 a month at Abernathy. He bought a ticket for 10 cents. on a mantle clock. Are mantle clocks in demand?
Are mantle clocks a hot thing, Tom?
No. Unfortunately, mantle clocks are, all clocks in general, unfortunately, are declining in value. The main issue is finding the people that have the knowledge, the tools, and the skill set to repair them properly.
Okay.
However, I would recommend taking it to a local jeweler and asking them to have a look at it and give you an opinion on it.
Thank you very
much. Jane, you caught my attention when you said Abernethy. You know that's the hometown of Evan Bray.
That's right. And I've been going to call you several times and tell you
about
my father's adventure there.
I'm glad we've connected. We'll have to talk again soon. Thanks, Jane. I appreciate you calling in. 1-877-332-8255. Okay, my next caller is going to be right in your wheelhouse, I think, because I've got Ian on the line from Saskatoon. Ian, go ahead. You got a question for my guest, Tom Chalowski. Go ahead, Ian. Ian, have I got you there? Are you on mute? Okay, we're going to try and get him off air because he had a railroad question, and I wanted to get to that. Okay, but I will go to the text line because there was a question on there. How many years old does something have to be before we consider it vintage? Is there even a correct answer for that?
There's no true clear-cut definition on that, but generally 25 years.
Okay. Because that kind of blends into this. I think sometimes people categorize things as antique, even though, you know, it may not be.
Yeah, it's a misnomer. That's
antique is usually 100 years or older, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. There was a general question here that said, what is the best way to sell antiques, list and sell antiques in Saskatchewan? I'm going to guess there's probably a variety of ways. What's your answer to that?
That's a very nebulous question. Facebook Marketplace is a good place to start. It depends on exactly what you have. If you have a collection of stuff, if it's a singular item, are we talking about antique vehicles, sports cards? So a Facebook Marketplace is a good start for a small grouping of items. If you have a large collection of stuff, like you're dealing with an estate, and you're not prepared to sell it, like you haven't experienced buying and selling on Facebook, my recommendation would be to go to an auction house like Schmaltz or Bodnaris, and they can assist you. There's also estate dispersal companies that's a relatively new thing that's come out. But if you're an individual and you're looking at just buying and selling, your first stop should always be the local antique store. These are professionals that this is how they make their livelihood. They know the market. They know what sells, what doesn't. Mm-hmm. Just the one caveat when you are going to an antique store with the intention to sell something, just please understand that these people are making their livelihood off of these things.
Right.
And the biggest thing that I run into is, well, I saw this for sale on eBay and that's the price that I'm asking.
Right.
That's an asking price. If you go to an antique store, you can generally expect about 50% off retail because it's cash in hand for you right away, but they've got to process it, catalog it, in some cases carry it around from show to sell it. So yes, a nebulous answer to a nebulous question.
That's a great one. Okay, Tom, we're going to take a break. Lots of questions coming in on the text line, including some pictures, which I knew we'd get, so people wanting you to say what this is.
I'll give it my best shot.
Okay, so we'll take a look at those. Tom Chalowski is my guest, and we will be back. It's basically the Evan Bray Antiques Roadshow, if you will, right until 12 o'clock here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.
Are you kidding? One of the most respected antique dealers in the city said it was a piece of junk, quote unquote.
Well, who was that?
Garrett has a collection of antique weapons in his house.
That should make me feel pretty much at home.
Hey, easy with those clubs, all right? They're antiques.
I wasn't paying too much attention to what I was doing, and I sat right down on that antique bed warmer. I broke the handle right off.
What an antique.
All these antiques. Who gave them to you?
This is Evan's Antique Roadshow.
Welcome back to the show. I am joined today in studio. Tom Chalowski is my guest. This is a guest. We don't stop talking. We go off air, and Tom and I keep going. We're showing pictures. We're telling stories. We're talking antiques today, and we've given you the option if you've got a question, 1-877-332-8255. I mentioned Tom's not doing appraisals, so he won't do an appraisal, but we can talk about your item, what it is, and maybe point you in the direction where you could go if you were looking to sell it, to move it along. I want to go back to the phone line. I think I've got the old guy from Saskatoon. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, good stuff. Good to have you. You've got a question for Tom. Go ahead.
Yes. My grandfather was an engineer on the CN, and his fireman was in the Royal Navy after the war. After the war, he became a fireman for my grandfather and became an engineer later. He had the complete course from 1948 or so on of all the books in that to become a railway engineer. Copies are being reproduced in live steam, but I got the full set as far as that, plus the drawing of a steam engine itself with all the parts, steam dome and all that stuff. Is that course worth anything now?
Are you referring to the International Correspondence School course?
Yes.
Yes, the little leatherette-bound books with the gold embossing.
Yes, I have the full set, plus the English version over as far as that goes.
Yep. So that complete set is in demand. The complete set consists of at least 20-odd books. The fold-out and the set, those typically sell for anywhere between $150 to $250, depending on the individual.
And I'm guessing there's it determines.
Hello again.
Yeah, determined on the like what kind of shape they're in.
Correct.
Well, they're in perfect shape. Another buck too, a green one, leather bound as well, quite thick, and has all the cars and oilers and reefers and that in North America and that and such and the serial numbers dated 1951 with pictures and everything. Is that worth anything?
Not nearly as much. It's more of a curio for somebody that's researching, like somebody like myself. But those typically come up, and they sell for around $20 a pop.
Okay, I got one more question.
Go ahead.
My grandfather's pocket watch.
Oh, there you go.
19 jewel Illinois in that, which I got the age of four. I'm over 70 now as far as this goes.
Pocket watches are really interesting. I think they're undervalued. Part of the issue with the pocket watches is finding the people to repair them.
Mine's good. I haven't got the card, but it runs like a top, and it used to be repaired at Willie's all the time.
Yep. So 19 jewel Illinois, devil's in the details, depending on what kind of dial it has and all of that stuff. But 19 jewel Illinois lever set railway grade pocket watch, you're looking anywhere between $300 and $500, somewhere in that ballpark.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Good stuff. All right, Ian, I appreciate the call. I'm going to keep moving along because I've got more calls coming in, and I want to go to Winston calling from Weyburn. You've got something pretty unique, Winston.
Yeah, I came across, Evan, a bundle of postcards that were addressed to people that are no longer with us in Weyburn, and they're all from the postcards relating to the Titanic.
So the postcards themselves are, like, the pictures on them and stuff are about the Titanic?
That's correct, and some of them have been sent to these people, and some of them have never been written on. They're original, not addressed to anybody.
Hmm. So,
okay, well, what you have is considered a crossover collectible because there are people that collect postcards and then there's people that collect Titanic memorabilia. So whenever you have two competing markets going after something that's interesting to the both of them, the prices can vary. In that particular case, being postcards, they'd be mass produced. So what I'd recommend is taking a look on the online and seeing what you can find for comparables. Go to eBay and on eBay, don't ever look at what people are asking to determine a value. There's an option for you to click on a link to see what items sold for. And that will give you a good general idea of what something is worth. But without seeing them, There's all sorts of details like the postmarks, you know, even the content of what's written on the back could add value to it if it's related to the Titanic. Mm-hmm. But yeah, very interesting.
Yeah. Appreciate the call. 1-877-332-8255. Tom Chalowski is my guest and we are talking antiques. There are a number of people sending in pictures, Tom, and I've got one here of an antique phonograph. Curious to know value of those. And again, we said we're not doing appraisals on the show, but I'm imagining old phonographs are hot for a couple of reasons. One, I'm guessing people like want to restore them or use them, but maybe even just repurpose it like as a cabinet.
Oh, no.
Well,
that's a bad
them.
Word. I've seen people do it, but it stuff like that makes me cringe. unfortunately, old phonographs are not particularly valuable. Older phonographs, like the hand crank wind-up phonographs, this is another case of generational nostalgia. So old phonographs were extremely popular, 70s, 60s, 70s, 80s. What's happening right now is that generation of collectors that would collect, you know, 30, 40, 50 of these things, they're now downsizing and passing away. And so what's happening is these really good collectible examples are now being dumped on the market, and there's not that many people pursuing mm-hmm. this stuff because, let's face it, phonographs are big, bulky things. They can only play a certain type of record. You're not going to take your modern vinyl LP and put it on an old phonograph with a steel stylus and watch the ribbons of vinyl carve up, right? So right. What happens when these markets change and large collections get dumped onto the market is the lower grade stuff, like older phonographs, like the one in the photograph, nice piece, but unfortunately it has a lot of condition issues. Mm-hmm. And so for a collector buying these things, they would be looking at as parts, and their offer on something like that would reflect that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Now, the same texter sent in pictures also of a Brownie camera with the flash in the original box. Vintage cameras, something that are attractive to buyers?
So what's really interesting is when I go to a show and I see a collection of vintage cameras out, there's a certain age group and demographic that just seems to flock to them, even though they're not, no intention to use them, but the, you know, young women, age 15 to 25 seem to really like cameras, just mm-hmm. to put them on display. Mm-hmm. But I looked at the photograph. That particular example is a very common one. Yes, it does have a complete box, but, it is missing parts. So, there is some value there, but nothing spectacular.
Okay, we're going to keep going here. I'm going to grab one more call before we take our next break. I want to go to our friend Dwayne from Carrot River. What is your question for my guest, Tom?
Well, I'll have the oldest thing you will talk about today. I was sitting in front of the Constitutional Building in Pennsylvania after Hurricane Katrina blew through, and all of a sudden something ticked my ear, and I looked in the ground beside me where the bench I was sitting on, and there was a brick perfectly 100% brick that had fallen from that building. It's about 260-some years old. The lady sitting on the bench beside me looked a little alarmed when I picked it up and put it in my bag, and I said, "Don't worry, I'm from Canada." She smiled. But the only person that's given any interest in this is Donald Trump, and he wanted me to bring it back for free, and I told him there'd be a 2,000% tariff. And you know, he hung up on me.
Well, how dare he do that? That's interesting. Go ahead, Tom.
Well, it's a great story, but you do bring up a valid point that I did want to address at some point in time in the conversation, is documentation. Every artifact is one generation away from becoming a thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many people have photographs, old family photographs, that they have no idea who the people are, right?
Right.
So even though I'm sure this was meant to be a humorous story.
Yeah.
If it was a significant artifact like a brick from an old hotel, unless you write down and document what that is.
Like provenance.
For provenance. Yeah. Yeah, the story behind it. Once you're out of the picture and you're no longer there to tell the story of what it is, it just becomes a thing.
It's a paperweight.
It's the same as family medals. Mm-hmm. If it was something that was important to you, write down what it was. I can't stress that enough.
Okay, that's a good way to take our last break. We will be back to finish up. Tom Chalowski is my guest. It's I think we've already proven we need to do this more regularly. The number of questions that are coming in, and I think you kind of agreed to that. Did you not, Tom? Yeah, you said we'd look at doing it a couple times a year, quarterly, something like that, because there's lots of interest in this. The text line's been very, very busy. So we'll take our break. We'll come back. We'll get to a few more of your questions before we wrap up here on 980 CJME and 650 CKO.
Chair. I'll pay for it, of course. I just hope it's not some priceless antique or something.
Well, what do you know? An old antique.
And she stole my ruby key, my powder of life, and valuable antiques that she made into a flying sofa. And she's headed this way.
Watch antiques.
More antiques for your collection.
Where would you find something like that? In an antique shop downtown or something?
Evans Antique Roadshow.
Yeah, he put in the work. That's right. Tom just said to me, like, Evan, come on. We can't do this one and done. You can't do 1 hour. Frank put all the work into those introductions. So, you know, I'm going to commit to doing this more often than we'll do it on somewhat of a regular basis. So a couple of things. My guest, Tom Chalowski, is here. We're talking antiques. Tom's done. He's got all kinds of history and knowledge when it comes to antiques. In fact, he's a show appraiser for the Saskatoon Antique and Collector Show. And I see a number of people on the text line saying, how do I get a hold of this guy when he's not on the radio? How can so Dave from Asquith just said, you said maybe Facebook is the best way. Okay.
Yeah, I'm on Facebook. My personal account. You can get a hold of me through Messenger.
Okay. So, and by the way, it's Tom Chalowski and Tom T H O M Chalowski, spelled C H O L O W S K I. So that's a good way to connect there. So, are there things, we were chatting a bit about this during the break? Are there things that kind of stand that generational roller coaster, so things that fall out of favor after the generation is getting older and downsizing? Are there some items that will retain their value regardless of the generation?
Anything that's made out of a precious metal or a commodity, platinum, gold, silver, that will always retain its value. When it comes to antiques and collectibles, my best advice is buy the things that you like, things that resonate with you, but buy the best that you can afford. Buy the best example. Quality will always hold its value. As we talked about the phonographs earlier, for every 100 destroyed old phonographs, there's one pristine example out there.
Mm-hmm.
And with collectibles, there will always be people pursuing the best example that they can find.
Right. There's a text here on a couple of them actually wanting to know on any advice you would give on people that want to get old coins appraised. I got a text here from Calvin in Saskatoon, for example.
My advice would be get a hold of Penn's Antiques in Saskatoon. They're very good at appraising old coins. They're right on the ball with the current values.
Mm-hmm. Is there a market for catalogs? Is a question that's on here. And this person says, Sears and Eaton's catalogs, I have them all from the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s.
No, not really. They are collectible, but you're probably looking at about $5 a catalog. Believe it or not, people are purchasing them to use as gift wrap, unfortunately.
That's sad, but...
Yeah.
Here's another text, David in Weyburn. I have my grandfather's canvas duffel bag that he was given when he enlisted in World War I. Any value there? I mean, there's clearly sentimental value.
There's sentimental value, yeah. But monetary value, you'd probably be around the $40, $50 mark with something like that. But again, I'd recommend getting a hold of your local military museum, mm-hmm. and seeing what they have to say about it.
Here's another one, a text wanting to know, my wife and I have 5 or 6 kerosene oil lamps. Is there something I can look at to date them or anything to look for when buying them? To say whether they're more desirable or not.
With kerosene oil lamps, I'd recommend picking up a black light off of Amazon, and that will tell you what the material is made out of. We had touched on uranium glass. A lot of the pre-1941 manufactured kerosene lamps, the glass ones, they will fluoresce, and that'll help you narrow down the time. But something like kerosene lamps, where they've been a collectible for a very long time. There's lots of resources out there. There's lots of Facebook community groups that you can take a photograph and throw it up, and there's other passionate collectors that will gladly tell you exactly what you have.
Right.
So, yeah, there's all sorts of venues open for Good stuff like that.
Well, did that hour fly by or
that
what?
That flew by like a rocket.
I know. So we will do this again. Maybe I'm talking directly to my executive producer, Libby, right now. Let's look at maybe a quarterly thing that we could connect in the spring, Tom. I've appreciated having you in here. Tom Chalowski, this has been a great chat. Thanks so much for giving us the time today.
Thank you very much.
Handshake across the bow here on the Evan Bray Show. We'll be right back. 980 CJME, 650 CKOM.